Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're taking a look at contagion. The Federal Reserve published an ironic report on the day that the FDIC took over control of First Republic Bank. That report was all about the demise of Silicon Valley Bank. It was a retrospective of sorts on what contributed to the failure of the bank and what shortcomings were present at the bank regulator. I read the 118-page report, including the cover letter, that was written by Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Michael Barr. The summary findings can be distilled down to four major areas. The four key takeaways of the report are: number one, Silicon Valley Bank's board of directors and management failed to manage their risks. Number two, supervisors did not fully appreciate the extent of the vulnerabilities as Silicon Valley Bank grew in size and complexity. And number three, when supervisors did identify vulnerabilities, they didn't take sufficient steps to ensure that Silicon Valley Bank had fixed those problems quickly enough. And number four, the board's tailoring approach to the Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act and a shift in the stance of the supervisory policy impeded effective supervision by reducing standards, increasing complexity, and promoting a less assertive supervisory approach. Well, that was a mouthful. But before addressing the major findings, the vice chair also had the following to say. He said, first, the combination of social media, a highly networked and concentrated depositor base, and technology may have fundamentally changed the speed of bank runs. Social media enabled depositors to instantly spread concerns about a bank run, and technology enabled immediate withdrawals of funds. He then went on to say that the firm's distress may have systemic consequences through contagion, where concerns about one firm spread to other firms. Even if the firm is not extremely large, highly connected to other financial counterparties, or involved in critical financial services. And then he says, this experience has emphasized why strong bank capital matters. Whether the proximate cause of Silicon Valley Bank's failure was a liquidity run, the underlying issue was concern about its solvency. The irony is that this report was issued on the same day that the FDIC is taking over yet another bank. First Republic Bank was a well-capitalized bank. In my opinion, it was a well-run bank. And while the run on Silicon Valley Bank happened in a matter of two business days, the flight of capital from First Republic Bank took place over the span of nearly 6 weeks. That makes it more like a power walk than a run. The thesis of the report is that the issues of Silicon Valley Bank were unique to Silicon Valley Bank, but that fails to address why there was a similar problem at Signature Bank, or it doesn't explain Credit Suisse, or now First Republic. Remember that a month ago, the feds forced a deal for 11 banks to make huge deposits of about $30 billion at First Republic to shore up their balance sheet. That was not enough to counter the nearly $100 billion in deposit outflows. And it's ironic that I was literally driving past First Republic Bank in Manhattan at the corner of Madison Avenue and 56th Street on Sunday as the announcement was being made by the FDIC that First Republic was going to be sold to J.P. Morgan Chase. Here's what J.P. Morgan Chase got in the deal. The FDIC is going to compensate the buyer for the mark-to-market shortfall. So the buyer is going to get to buy the assets at the current market value. But if they hold those assets to maturity, they're going to add about $1 billion in profits to the bank's income statement every year for the foreseeable future. It's a great deal for J.P. Morgan Chase. They got to wipe out any obligations of First Republic Bank. So they're going to keep the depositors and they're going to keep the loans discounted below their book value, even if they hold them to maturity. It's a terrible deal for the existing banks. It basically says there's no path for any bank in an environment of fear to raise equity. Now, under the Dodd-Frank Act, which was passed in the wake of the Great Financial Crisis, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is supposed to hold 1.3% of all insured deposits in reserve. Well, it's very clear that the FDIC has nowhere near that amount being held in reserve. The FDIC balance sheet was consumed by almost 50% on the Silicon Valley Bank transaction alone, and there cannot be much left. So here we are, 6 weeks after the first bank failure. In the aftermath, we were told that the cause was weak management and the banking system is resilient and strong. Then we heard the same message when Signature Bank failed, now First Republic. But the system is resilient and strong. The fundamental problem is that there's a mismatch between the nature of the actual liquidity of the banks and the structural liquidity of the banks. And what I mean by that is that depositors can request their money on any given day, but when the bank lends money, they lend it for a long time. So banks' true ability to generate liquidity is far less than the expectation of giving depositors their funds on demand. We learned that lesson when Lehman Brothers failed in 2008. The Lehman Brothers Bank in the Bahamas was taking in LIBOR deposits, which were of short duration. And when LIBOR transactions dried up, as they did during the Great Financial Crisis, the bank became insolvent overnight. Yes, Lehman Brothers was structurally flawed, that is clear. But what about any bank? Are they truly in better shape? We do have bank contagion. It is here. It is easily predictable, and our banking system is not resilient, nor is it strong. There are calls from the White House to increase banking regulation. But if you actually take time to read the Silicon Valley Bank report, it's clear that the existing regulations were not actually being used. Folks, this is the second inning of this story, and there's plenty more to come. And why is that? Because we haven't actually experienced any real economic distress yet. This is all driven by rules involving mark-to-market accounting, and it's driven by fear. The question is not whether the banking system is safe. The feds will find a way somehow to keep it safe. The question is, what's the future of regional banking? Is there any ability to loan funds on a long-term basis when you are short on deposits? How will the business of regional banking change in the next 5 years? And what will be the source of capital for commercial real estate in the future, if not the regional banks? Well, as it turns out, private investors are making up a significantly larger and larger portion of senior debt in the commercial real estate market. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.